SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number two, live right here on a Friday, although not officially a football Friday, with games to break down this weekend, 9 days away from Super Bowl Sunday. We'll call it a football Friday here in hour number two. He is Jermyn Ehre. I am Ben Stevens. We will have Mike Blewett join us later on in this second half hour of our second hour. That's always an official sign of a football Friday as well. So much to break down for the biggest game of each and every NFL season. And here in this second hour, we will do so with a big question for the big game. In hour number three, a lot of college basketball and NBA handicaps for your Friday evening and sending you into a jammed-packed weekend. We've got a lot to get to here over these next 2 hours on the Early Line.
Yeah, it's time to start here, Ben, as we get ready. I mean, come Monday, it's going to be buckle up. Props are out. All sorts of fun ways to bet this. The squares, I am sure, for folks will be taking center stage this week. So a lot to get to here in this game.
A lot to get to indeed, because here are the numbers now. We are down in the countdown to single digits, 9 days away from Super Bowl Sunday in New Orleans, including this Friday. And there you see the odds. A point and a half spread in favor of Kansas City, minus 126 in the money line. The total has officially dropped by a full point to 48.5. Will these markets change? Of course. Will we see more bets that we can place? Of course, in the coming days and certainly in the next week in the Big Easy in New Orleans. But right here, right now, on the weekend before Super Bowl weekend, let's get you ready. And our producer extraordinaire, Joe Friso, asking the big questions for the big game that I will deliver and we will discuss. So as we talk about these two teams squaring off for a second time in the last three NFL seasons, the first big question for the biggest game of each and every season is a rather simple one, Joe, but one, of course, that will lead to some debate. Who is actually the better team entering this matchup, the Chiefs or the Eagles?
Well, Ben, I can absolutely make the argument that the wrong team is favored here. I can argue that the Eagles, 17-3, including, what, three playoff wins, right, have been way better than what the Chiefs have, who have two playoff wins, but they had the bye because of the number one seed there. When you look at the numbers on paper, Ben, the Eagles, more points per game, 28.4 to 23.2. They have the number one defense in the NFL, allowing just 17.9 points per game. That's almost 20 points for the Chiefs, their defense. Not that far behind, but again, that is significant when we're talking about a one-game playoff here. When you put all of the things out, I can make the argument that the Philadelphia Eagles, better team, better defense, more ways to beat you, they should be closer to a two and a half point favorite on a neutral field in this game. But that would not take into consideration the postseason, the experience, the coaching, and all the other things that go into this. There is a huge edge for the Chiefs in playoff experience and, more importantly, knowing how to win these kinds of games. They have the better quarterback. They have the better coach. That matters in this spot here, Ben. But on paper, Philadelphia is the better team.
Yep, I would agree. Roster-wise, talent-wise, they probably give the edge to the Eagles on either side of the football. But when you dive into the individual matchups, I'm still going to trust Andy Reid in the combination with Patrick Mahomes far more than I will Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. And what do we always say? What are the most important positions within a football team? Your head coach and your quarterback to decide the biggest game of the year. So maybe the Eagles get the edge from a talented roster perspective. I still think overall I give the edge to Kansas City ever so slightly, as the odds makers do as well. Joe, I think a couple of years ago out in Phoenix, the Eagles were far more talented. The Chiefs wide receiver room this year better. The Chiefs defense this year up and down the list better and performing better than they were back in 2022. I think the Eagles had the talent gap in a larger way back in 2022. This year, I think it's a little bit tighter, but one of the great X factors, of course, one of the biggest changes from the 2022 Birds in this year's version is Saquon Barkley on that offensive side of the football. And Joe, there is no doubt we have two elite defenses, two of the best defenses in the sport, squaring off against one another in a Super Bowl. We have talked about the total at length. 48.5. Where it stands right now, Joe, and where it might end come Super Bowl Sunday in 9 days, do you think the total will ultimately be too high?
It's tough, Ben, because again, there are a number of different paths for this thing to get up and over, right? But the styles that we have seen both of these teams approach games this year, it's get out maybe a little, if you're Philadelphia, right? Have a big second quarter, get out, have the lead at the break, milk the clock, 14, 15, 16, you know, play drives and make it impossible for teams to come back and play lockdown defense. And listen, Kansas City wasn't going to drop 30 points on anybody this year. They didn't, Ben. They had to grind. They had to have the defense keep the game close in order for Andy Reid and Mahomes to win games late. So judging the body of work from these two teams and the way that Philadelphia wants to run the ball, Kansas City doesn't have a consistent running game, which means a lot of dinking and dunking, moving the chains, letting the clock keep rolling, right? That all of that leads me to an under in this game, because the best defense for this game is going to win it. The offenses, Patrick Mahomes versus Saquon Barkley, I don't think there's a lot of difference here. The difference to me is neither defense is going to allow the 80-yard touchdown run, pass, you name it. I think this is going to be a grind of a game.
Both teams have gone over the number in conference championship weekend. The Eagles, in fact, have played two consecutive games to the over. There is so much offensive talent. I don't think this game ends 17-14. Could it end 24-21, even 27-21, and barely stay under by the hook? Perhaps. I do think both teams get into the 20, and that's where I get a little bit weary, because do I have a large edge there to keep this game under? Do I want to sweat out my Buffalo wings come Super Bowl Sunday? That will be my decision in the coming days here for Super Bowl 59. I will say this, Joe. Again, this is a dynastic run for Kansas City. 5 Super Bowl appearances in 7 seasons that Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback. The main difference for KC these previous 2 campaigns, the offense has been rather mediocre, 12th and 13th in scoring offense the last 2 years, 23 points per game this year, 22.2 a season ago. And Joe, in the first 5 years of this dynastic run, a top 6 scoring offense averaging at least 28.5 points in those 5 seasons. Different this time around, but the best defense we have seen for KC. So, Joe, it sounds like you believe there are more pathways to an under, that the defenses win this game even more than the stellar offensive talent that we have.
And Ben, which is more likely to happen, that the offenses play to their averages, which would give us a 29-24 game, or do one of these defenses play to their average, 17 or 19 points? And I think if you think one of them does, this game stays under.
I think it's a great point, Joe. I really, really do. And that's why the pathway makes a lot of sense. And based on the trend, the public is going to bet for points in the biggest game of a year. We have seen 5 of the last 6 Super Bowls stay under that pregame total. Now the big questions in the big game for the big individuals that will impact the outcome.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Big questions for the big game. 9 days away from Super Bowl 59 in the Big Easy. We talked side. We talked total. Now it's time for the individual players that will dictate the outcome. The big questions for the Big Easy, for the biggest game, and the biggest stars in this sport, in the biggest position of responsibility, that would be the quarterback. Let's compare Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts. The numbers, where it stands right now for Super Bowl 59, 251 and a hook for Mahomes, 29.5 his rushing yards prop. Jalen Hurts, still a much lower number, 210 and a hook through the air, 40.5 on the ground. We will see just how healthy that injured left knee is for Jalen Hurts with the additional week of rest and still 9 days away. Let's talk about these quarterbacks, Joe, though, and the biggest of the big questions. How wide is the gap between these two?
They're two different quarterbacks, though. I think we also need to understand that, right? Both have shown an ability, and it goes without saying for Patrick Mahomes, to show up in big games. And let's not forget, in 2022, Ben, Jalen Hurts wasn't the reason Philadelphia lost in that game, right? So he basically carried that team to the point where they almost did the unthinkable and beat Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid there. So it's been a little different path for Hurts, but the reality is, you know, Jalen Hurts, if healthy enough, brings an added dimension of the running aspect, which is important to what Philadelphia wants to do offensively. Both have quality receivers that they can look to. I would trust Mahomes a little bit more if it comes down to throwing the ball to have to win than I would Jalen Hurts. But having said that, both have superstar tight ends they can go to as, you know, safety valves. They both have guys that can stretch the field. So both quarterbacks, very similar. I give the edge to Mahomes in this spot, because the man has how many rings now? He's going for a record third ring. That doesn't happen by accident, Ben. So until Jalen Hurts does that, he's going up against Mahomes in a one-off. It's always Mahomes for me.
Super Bowl championships, the edge is obviously Patrick Mahomes. He has three Super Bowl rings at this moment compared to Jalen Hurts, who is making his second Super Bowl appearance in 3 years. But there is definitely distinction in that as well. And Joe, leaving Super Bowl 57 in Glendale, you probably thought this gap was going to tighten between the two, not be as wide as it is perceived at this moment because of how great Jalen Hurts was. 374 total yards, 304 through the air. Philly's leading rusher with 70 yards on the ground. One of two players in Super Bowl history to have three rushing touchdowns in a single big game. He was sensational. He willed Philadelphia to even be close. Now, some point to the strip sack that Nick Bolton had and took it the other way to the house early in that opening half when Philly seemed to be really in possession of that game, tied it up at 14 all. Is it on Jalen Hurts, or is it an unfortunate play where, of course, turnovers as a whole just cannot be a thing if you are going to hoist a Lombardi trophy? But, Joe, what's really fascinating about Patrick Mahomes, dropped that exchange on Sunday night in terms of the play. I believe it was Isaiah Pacheco in the backfield that Buffalo then recovered and took advantage of. They were sharing on the broadcast, first turnover for Mahomes in a very long time in his playoff career. Patrick Mahomes has actually been a little bit more turnover prone in Super Bowls than he had been in AFC Championship games. 16 touchdowns to 2 interceptions in his 7 AFC Championship games. In his 4 prior Super Bowl appearances, 7 touchdowns to 5 INTs. So, Joe, I ask this second big question. Is either quarterback capable of costing his team the game?
I don't think it's going to come down to the quarterbacks. And I don't think it's going to come down to a situation, because I think Philadelphia has got to win on the back of Saquon Barkley, right? I think that's what it's going to come down to. It's going to be Saquon Barkley. If you're asking Jalen Hurts to drop back 40 times in a game, Ben, then you're kind of dead in the water anyway. I don't think that's going to work out very well in your favor, as you're going to become a sitting target back there. The one I think that's going to have more pass attempts, who's going to have more completions, is Patrick Mahomes, which obviously gives more variance in the ability to turn the ball over, Ben, simply because they don't have a running game like Philadelphia does. They don't have a right. consistent running game like they did a year ago, which means Mahomes in the short passing game is what it's going to be all about. And that means he's going to have to throw it 35 or more times. And I think that correlates to a whole lot of over on passing yards, over on completions, over on attempts. He's got to do that. I think he's going to be the one putting the ball in harm's way more often than Jalen Hurts in this game.
And that would follow the numbers when you look at Saquon Barkley, one of the best free agent acquisitions in an offseason an NFL franchise has ever seen. 22.5 is his rush attempts prop. 112 in a hook, his number for the biggest game of a season. And Joe, we talked about pathways to an over or an under. Let's talk about a pathway to an outright victory in a Super Bowl championship. Can Saquon Barkley, as an individual, a running back that we tried to diminish in the last few years in the NFL, win Super Bowl 59 and bring Philadelphia championship by himself?
It's been a hot minute, Ben, since we've had this kind of conversation about an RB being that kind of difference maker in this game here. But the answer is absolutely yes. And if he does have the kind of game Philadelphia needs him to have, yeah, they win this game and they probably win it rather easily.
So we've talked a lot about how great the Chiefs are defensively, and they will be a test for Saquon Barkley, better than the defenses the Eagles have seen so far, of course, throughout their playoff run, especially where Saquon Barkley has been historic. Last week, only 118 yards, but on 15 carries in his seventh 60-plus yard rushing touchdown of the year, that an NFL record. At 205 against the Rams, KC is better. We'll discuss more about the ground game and more with the individuals next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue to ask the big questions for the big game, the biggest game of each and every NFL season, Super Bowl 59, now just 9 days out. We know that Saquon Barkley is going to have to be great for Philadelphia to win a Lombardi Trophy. And frankly, he is expected to be exactly that, a historic and record-setting season, his first in Philly. Let's talk about the Chiefs on the other side. Joe, it's so funny because you have these two teams, right? Second time in 3 years they face off in a Super Bowl. We have seen Kansas City here so many times and so many data points to use and sample size to compare. Jalen Hurts after Super Bowl 57, we thought he was going to be the top quarterback in the NFC for years to come. Still obviously has led his team to success, but maybe not quite in that distinction, at least at this moment. Isaiah Pacheco on that wonderful rookie run into the postseason left Super Bowl 57 with a Lombardi Trophy, 15 carries, 76 yards, and a touchdown for KC. Ah, the Chiefs have done it again. They have found their bell cow with a seventh round selection. Isaiah Pacheco injured earlier this year, a significant ankle injury. Just how healthy he is right now, despite being back there, that remains to be seen. But it led on Kansas City to call on Kareem Hunt, of course, a member of prior Super Bowl winning teams for KC as well. And it seems as though Kareem Hunt is now the lead back. So the big question for KC's backfield, as you see their numbers, in order for the Chiefs to win, Joe, do both Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco need to be good? Do they need production just out of one? Can neither be all that outstanding and get close to those props, and Patrick Mahomes still will the Chiefs to a Super Bowl championship?
Yeah, listen, let's not kid ourselves here. Pacheco is not even remotely close to 100%. If he was, Ben, I think we'd have a totally different look and the number would be different in this game if Kansas City had a legit number one back. So Pacheco, not 100%, suffered that knee injury you mentioned early in the season. He's got just 5 carries in 2 playoff games so far. So he is clearly the second choice in just a handful of packages for Andy Reid and this offense, which means Kareem Hunt is going to be your lead back here. So a lot of different ways I think we can fade Pacheco. There's a couple of different ways I think we can fade Kareem Hunt. But this all goes back to my point with, unlike last year or years prior, there is absolutely no consistent running game for Kansas City. Not to mention you've got a Philadelphia defense that plays 2 high safeties all the time in Vic Fangio. Why? Because they're not letting you beat them deep. There is, you know, they're not, Worthy's not flying down there uncovered. They're not going to allow you to do that. They're going to make you dink and dunk it. I don't know that Kareem Hunt is a guy as a number one back then that I want to say, uh-oh, he can take over this game. He can't, but they have to maintain a running game, Ben. Otherwise, they become very one-dimensional, and that's not a good thing either.
Kareem Hunt, the lead back for KC throughout this postseason, 17 carries, 64 yards, and a rushing score against Buffalo in the AFC Championship game. My apologies. Hunt has been there for prior AFC titles, but did head to Cleveland in 2019. That was the first Super Bowl appearance for Kansas City. And they knocked off the Niners, and Damian Williams had multiple touchdowns in that game. Let's talk about the pass catchers then for Kansas City. Of course, no more prolific connection in postseasons past than Mahomes and Travis Kelce. He has the highest prop. But Joe, outside of Travis Kelce, who is the guy that needs to step up on the most significant stage for the Chiefs?
Yeah, I think Marquise Brown has got to, you know, when is the breakout game for Hollywood Brown here? Because, you know, pick your poison. You've got 2 guys that can stretch the field there, and Worthy and Brown. Brown started the game off well against the Bills and then kind of disappeared in the second half here. Xavier Worthy has been the kind of go-to guy. He's running the ball. He's got rushes. He's got trick plays. But I think you need Hollywood Brown. It's why you went out and got him, Ben. I think Hollywood Brown, now healthy, has to be able to make a big-time play when they need it in this game.
Let's talk the birds quickly here as well. Jalen Hurts' number, only 210.5. But, of course, his 2 top targets, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. How do you approach the Eagles' wide receiver core and their tight ends for Super Bowl 59?
Well, Goddard could very well be the leading catcher in this entire game, I think, for Philadelphia. That's how important I think he is.
53.5, his receiving yards prop, 2 yards up over Devontae Smith. Mike Blewett, he's here next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Maybe not an official Football Friday, as there's no football game this weekend, but it's always a Football Friday if Mike Blewett is in the house and live right here on the early line. There he is, Big Blue, for a big game in the Big Easy. 9 days out from Super Bowl Sunday and Super Bowl 59 between the Chiefs and the Eagles. Mike Blewett delivers his thoughts and his early leans on how Super Bowl 59 is going to play out. Blue, of course, as always, we appreciate the time.
Great to be with you guys. Watched a little bit of that Pro Bowl games last night. That was something else. Yeah. Definitely not something to bet on.
You were the guy. Definitely. Oh.
I tried.
Yeah, I heard there was one viewer. Yes.
Yeah.
I tried, Joe, and I looked. I was sitting with my dad, and I looked over. I was like, this is unwatchable. This is kids' games that the adults are playing, and the kids' game is screwed up. So, nonetheless, I appreciate that they're trying. It's just not working.
They're trying.
So, yeah, Ben, Joe, thanks for having me. Obviously, there's a lot to go over over the course of the next week. I'm sure we'll be firing off picks that we like and angles in the game. I heard you guys discussing earlier some of the interesting cat and mouse game that I think we'll find here between Spagnuolo and Kellen Moore. Fangio and Reed, Nagy. So that to me is really fascinating. And I think the thing that I'm most curious about is how the Chiefs choose to attack this Eagles defense, which is obviously strong on the defensive line, has a lot of talent in the defensive backfield, but they are young. There's a fascinating number of players that have played in this Super Bowl before, not in the Super Bowl before, but DeJean, Mitchell, Carter, not guys with a lot of playoff experience. So can Mahomes find it in himself to attack downfield Mitchell, DeJean, Blankenship? I'm curious if that's the way that they'll go.
So what did you originally think, Mike, when we talked about it, when we covered the games last week? We were looking at these look-ahead lines, and it was about 1.5. It's still 1.5. I think Ben and I are of the mindset that this total, it's we've seen a little under money. We know the over money is coming in late before the game by the public. But where do you think this leaves 1.5? What did you think of the odds in this one? Is the wrong team favorite?
I think it's a fair question to ask, and a lot of people, I couldn't really argue much against saying that the wrong team is favored. I don't think if it was a true line, I don't think Philly would be favored by more than what the Chiefs are now. But putting the Chiefs in a position where they're plus money or they are catching a point or two would put the books, I think, in a really difficult position. This line is set for them to try to take even money on it. They're probably seeing a lot of that now. The under, I would suspect, shades more towards Philly bettors. Philly can win a low-scoring game. I don't know that the Chiefs can. Frankly, the Chiefs can win any kind of game, but I think an under favors Philly in controlling the clock and keeping Mahomes off the field. But I can't say it stuns me, Joe, but it's probably more of a strategic line than it is a true line of power rankings of the team.
I don't think you're going to see Kansas City, despite what movement there could be in the next 9 days or so, ever become an underdog. I think the odds makers will be very hesitant to do just that. But Blue, as we compare these two teams, second time they face off in a Super Bowl matchup in the last 3 seasons, Joe and I had this conversation earlier. Who is actually the best team on paper? When you look up and down the rosters from a talent perspective for the Chiefs and the Eagles, who do you give the edge?
I think the slight edge to Philly. I've said many times on this show that I think the presence of Patrick Mahomes distracts people from the talent, specifically on the defensive side of the ball. But when you start to weigh the talent that Philly has across the board on defense, albeit a lot of it young, like I just mentioned, and their offensive line, which frankly is as talented and dominant an offensive line as we have seen in a really long time, you can start to compare these versions of the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line to those Cowboys lines in the 90s that won 3 titles. They'll have to do a lot more in order to get 3 titles, but these guys are extremely talented, from Mailata to Johnson to Dickerson. We'll see what his health is as we approach the Super Bowl. Cam Jurgens, we have to see what his health is as we approach the Super Bowl. The 2 weeks off benefit Philly more than they benefit the Chiefs. And I think that gives them the slight edge. Clearly, the quarterback edge is to Kansas City. But Saquon Barkley has been such a dominant player, and the receiving core, it really starts to even out. And you have to say the Eagles have a better chance to neutralize what Kansas City does defensively just by running the ball down their throat than Kansas City does by, to Joe's point, death by 1,000 paper cuts to Fangio's defense. Mm-hmm. Mahomes can do it, but it's a higher degree of difficulty.
Ben, I mean, Mike, when we look at this here and from a big picture perspective, then the narratives that we're looking at here, we're talking about Mahomes and Andy Reid doing something that has never been done in the history of the NFL. Going back to back to back, winning a third straight Super Bowl. The GOAT didn't do this. I mean, you go back in history on some of the greatest football teams and champions that we have seen. And Kansas City, Andy Reid, and Mahomes are have an opportunity to do something none of them ever could. Where will this team rank if they win in the history of the game, or where do you think this this run, if they lose it, will rank?
I think this would be the greatest team accomplishment in the history of the NFL by winning three in a row. That 1990 Niners team got knocked off by the Giants in pretty shocking fashion. Yep. The Giants really limited them in that game offensively. That's the last time a team has even really been in this position. Those Cowboys early 90s teams getting knocked off by the Niners in 1994, that was a team, obviously, that could have gone conceivably four in a row. Deion Sanders moving back and forth between teams was thought to tip the scales a little bit through all of that drama. But it's been a really long time since a team even put themselves in position to do this. And it's with a team that, as we're sitting here now, we're talking that Philly might be more talented. And have the Chiefs really even been that impressive at points during the year? And then they show up in the biggest game of the year that they played to date, and they score the most points that they have all season. They drop 32 on the bill. So they just have an ability to do this that people, I still think, doubt to some extent. They aren't showing you their best pitches during the regular season. They just don't do it.
Yeah, and where Kansas City has been at the end of the day is in a fifth Super Bowl in the last six seasons. That itself an NFL record. More history, the Chiefs even playing in a third consecutive Super Bowl. The first back-to-back winner ever in NFL history to even reach a third straight. But on the other side, an Eagles team that has also been here twice in the last 3 years and blew it after a mediocre 2-2 start. The Birds have now won 15 of their last 16 entering Super Bowl Sunday. Throughout each and every stage of this season, did you expect Philadelphia to play in a Super Bowl?
That's a fair question. I think I had a lot of futures on Philly. I expected them to win the division, expected them to compete well into the postseason, but I don't think anybody, even the most optimistic Eagles fan, could not expect Saquon Barkley to be as dominant as he is now. He is going to, during this game, pass Terrell Davis for the most rushing yards in a season in NFL history, regular season and postseason combined. And he did it currently 62 less carries than TD had in 1998. Saquon's 30 yards off the pace. So he is completely dominant and taken them to a level that people could not have predicted.
Yeah, that has been a historic and record-setting season for Saquon Barkley. He is the difference. Philly hopes it's enough to hoist a Lombardi trophy. We'll dive even deeper with Mike Lewin up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue to break down Super Bowl 59, 9 days away. Countdown tracks on to New Orleans in Super Bowl Sunday. Mike Blewett is here. He will be here. That is for sure in just a matter of moments. We now talk the total for Super Bowl 59. The over-under, 48.5, Blue. It has worked its way down by a full point from where it was for most of the week before Super Bowl week. How much offense are you expecting in Super Bowl 59?
It's a tough one. Last year we had very similar situation where we had a tight spread. It didn't move at all. Niners and Chiefs didn't move at all. Chiefs a slight favorite the whole time. That total was locked in at 47.5 for the entirety of the 2 weeks of the Super Bowl. Came down a point on game day. So you got some under money. I felt really strongly about a way that the game would go last year. I thought a tight Chiefs win, that ended up happening. This year, I'm struggling a little bit with how I expect it to play out. I have some theories that I've sort of floated to you. Can Mahomes attack the young defensive backs? Can those receivers be capable of them attacking those defensive backs? Can the Chiefs defensive line, this is the most important thing for the entire game, can that Chiefs defensive line get stops? I don't think Philly's going to get cute about it at all. They have A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith if they feel like being explosive, but they haven't needed that for weeks. 7 rushing touchdowns in the NFC Championship game tells you everything that you need to know. I don't think they're going to be cute about it. I think this helps them in a variety of different ways. Saquon can carry the ball 30 times. They can keep Mahomes off the field. So that is really going to be it. Can they get Philly into third and longs? These first and second downs for Philly are going to be really important. If they're ripping off, if they're getting into third and threes, third and four or less, they're going to be in great shape and they're not going to be shy about going on fourth down. So that's really the key for me. I'm going to lean towards an under, but the last time these two teams played in the Super Bowl, obviously we had a very high scoring affair, but it's notably different in the way that they operate this offense. Jalen Hurts threw for well over 300 yards in the last Super Bowl, and his line right now is barely over 200.
So it's interesting because we've seen 8 previous Vic Fangio defenses go up against Patrick Mahomes, 6 with Denver, 2 with Miami, and they're 0-8. So Mahomes, no matter what Fangio has dialed up, has figured out a way, just 2 picks, 10 touchdowns, 64% completions. That's why I'm leaning towards, hey, they're going to play 2 high safeties. They're not going to let Worthy or Hollywood Brown beat them on an 80-yard touchdown pass. So if we're dinking and dunking, when it comes to Mahomes props, I mean, give me his completions over, give me his attempts over. It feels like it's got to be with Mahomes' arms that wins this game as opposed to Jalen Hurts. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think they're going to live and die by whether or not they can run the ball with Barkley.
So, Joe, I'm totally with you. Is the first number that I looked at outside of the major numbers was Mahomes' completions and attempts. However, they will have to win the game for him to get 24 completions or 37 pass attempts. They'd have to win for that to happen. Unless you think Philly is going to smash them, and then we have a different conversation altogether. But I don't personally think that's going to happen. One key, too, and I thought this is the biggest failure of the Bills philosophically, and I don't think Philly will make this mistake. You know you're in for a dogfight against Mahomes and the Chiefs, but you cannot expect to beat them by 3 points. Do you know what I mean? This has to be an all-out effort to be up 2 touchdowns as you enter the fourth quarter. A quick Mahomes stat for you guys and how he's operated in the playoffs. He's trailed in the fourth quarter in 9 playoff games in his career. He's come back to win 6 and forced 2 more to overtime before losing. The only one that doesn't qualify there is the Tampa Super Bowl where they got blown out. In those games, he has a 132 passer rating with 5 touchdown passes and 1 touchdown run when down 1-8 points in the fourth quarter or OT of a playoff game. He led scores on 13 of 14 drives, which means for all the stuff that he's good at, if it's late and close, you've screwed yourself for the most part. Yep. You have to put him away early. And that's really the fault of the Bills. They were playing a close game. And they think they strategically played a close game, and he got them in the end.
Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs have trailed by double digits in each of these 2 consecutive Super Bowl championships against the Birds at the half in Super Bowl 57 last year, early in the opening half against the 49ers. Blewett, you have talked about Saquon Barkley and his instant impact in Philadelphia in his first year. The props reflect a historic and record-setting season for the biggest game of the year. 22.5, his carries prop, 112 in a hook, his rushing yards prop. For Philadelphia to be victorious in Super Bowl 59, does Saquon Barkley need to go over these numbers?
Yes. So I would actually lean towards the carries first. I think people were jumping on board and that number started to get really inflated leading up to last week. It was a blowout. He didn't need to carry the ball 25 times. If that was a tighter game, we would have seen him. The other games, 31 carries, 29 carries, all the previous few games, he's carrying the ball in the games that mattered over 25 times. So I would bet carries first on Saquon. And yes, I think he needs to have over 100 rushing yards. 113 you start to get to a point where like, all right, that's a high enough number that I can lean off of it. But I do think if they win the game, he is over those numbers.
So let's go one step further. Saquon goes over those numbers, which leads to a Philadelphia win. Who wins Super Bowl 59 MVP?
I think because of everything that has gone into this season and the stats that I talked about before and him breaking an all-time record, I think he could break the streak of no running backs. Terrell Davis, the last one to win in 1997. I think Saquon would have a real shot here unless, as Joe said, Dallas Goedert goes off for 100 and a couple of scores.
And let's not forget, it's a narrative award still, even in a Super Bowl. Coaching carousel is brewing next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
9 days away from Super Bowl Sunday, two teams still in the chase for a Lombardi Trophy, 30 others focusing on the future of their franchise this offseason, 7 needing to hire a new head coach at some point throughout this offseason already. 6 have done so. 1 more job still outstanding. That's in New Orleans. The Saints still need to hire a head coach. We're looking at you, Kellen Moore, when Super Bowl 59 comes to a close. But Blewett, the 6 head coaching vacancies that have now been filled on your screen. Let's rank them. Who was the best head coaching hire so far in this coaching carousel?
Mike Vrabel, not even close. The Pats just set themselves up for future success. He obviously has to get aligned with the player personnel department. Vrabel has wanted a lot more input than he got in Tennessee. The framing of like Mike Vrabel got fired by Tennessee, that's only said by someone that does not really paying attention, right? Maybe technically that's what happened, but Mike Vrabel got his way out of Tennessee because he didn't want to deal with Carthon and the ownership group anymore. So he effectively got himself fired. He might as well have quit, but who walks away from, you know, an 8-figure salary? So Mike Vrabel, slam dunk for the Pats.
And the worst?
Well, the Saints don't have a head coach yet.
Yeah, that's
they have
point.
A general manager, yeah. That's been there since 2001. The only general manager that's been in place longer is Jerry Jones, who owns his football team. He elevated a guy that didn't get an interview anywhere else. So, to be honest, the Saints are in better shape than the Jags and the Cowboys. I don't know that Kellen Moore is going to be any kind of great head coach, but they bided their time and found somebody that they like better than some of the other options that were out there. And if it ends up being Anthony Weaver instead of Kellen Moore, we'll see how it goes. The Saints have a long way to go. They have an expensive roster with a lot of players that are going to need to be released, including Carr and what his future looks like. So I think Schottenheimer is another guy in a long line of head coaches for Jerry that he doesn't really want to have a huge personality or push back or have any input on player personnel. So Schottenheimer just guides his ship. He tells everybody what Jerry wants them to be told, and they move on. I think the Cowboys are in a rough spot here for years to come. Not Schottenheimer's fault solely. They have roster issues as well, and they never add anybody in free agency that's worth anything. The Jaguars, I think, are a mess as an organization. That's proven to be the case for the last 20-plus years. And Liam Cohen getting denied from hiring some assistance from Tampa is indicative of how he and they screwed up the whole process. There was no reason to accept the Tampa job's terms until he was officially done with the Jaguars. So I think Liam Cohen is in for failure. It's not about him, but the organization set him up for failure.
Sometimes when you look at bad teams staying bad, it's not a head coach, it's not a front office, it's not an organization or a roster. It might be that top guy, the owner or ownership group. Of course, anytime the New York Jets are making a head coaching hire, it is going to bring some notoriety. Blewett, what did you make of the decision for the Jets to hire Aaron Glenn? And will Aaron Glenn be able to snap a 14-year playoff drought for gangrene at some point in his tenure in Florham Park?
Yeah, well, that's a key point. At some point is probably the key word there, Ben. I don't know that he snaps it in year one under the helm here, but I'm a big fan of Aaron Glenn. He was a great player. He's obviously his tenacity and his affection that's felt from the players is palpable, so I can appreciate that. The Jets are in an interesting cycle, though, where the coaching and GM hires, when I say interesting, I mean disastrous, where the GM and the coach are not hired in accordance with one another, like the Bills did with McDermott and Beam. They came in together. So you're going to have a GM that comes in. He's going to have to get used to the way Glenn works and vice versa. They have a quarterback question looming. There's a lot of talented players on defense. But finally, with the Jets, this is a first-time head coach that's a defensive player. Why they're caught in this cycle, I'm not sure, but the only offensive mind, put in air quotes, was Adam Gase, and that didn't work out well either.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't exactly successful at the same time, but it has been a blueprint for the New York Jets. We'll see if this one turns out with better results. Mike Blewett, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here on a Football Friday. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Plenty more to come in our third and final hour on the Early Line. That's up next.